Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Happy Friday, everybody. D-Mace, Willie D, how we doing?
What up, what up? Doing well. How about you, Willie?
I'm doing well. A lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot. Whole bunch.
Whole lot going on.
I guess Alabama receivers got a few things in common.
Yeah,
and not just play. Exactly.
Is Alabama wide receivers and putting money on games.
Exactly.
What is going on with the Lions? Guys, did you not get the memo?
The news that just came out, Jameson Williams, Stanley Berryhill, Quintez Cephas, and C.J. Moore, three wide receivers and one safety for the Lions, have been suspended for gambling on games. Now, Jameson Williams is six games. Uh-huh. I believe the rest is indefinitely at least one year.
It was 2-6. I think Jameson.
Six game suspensions.
Yeah, and then the others were indefinite, and that's including a guy from the Commanders as well.
So then that's at least a year.
Yes.
I think if the Calvin Ridley thing taught us anything, it's minimum 1 year. So just don't bet on games. Just don't do it.
I wonder what they...
You can bet on other games.
But I wonder...
You can't bet on the NFL
bet
games.
Bet on women's college lacrosse. Bet on anything else other than the NFL.
But they don't say... Because you got some guys that got six games, and you got some guys that are indefinite, but they haven't come out with the full story. Like, why is it that Jameson and the other guy got six, and why did the other guys get indefinite?
I have no idea. Maybe involvement.
Yeah, exactly.
Or
so
maybe,
I would love for the details to come out on this.
Maybe it was Jameson Williams wasn't playing this past season, so maybe it's a harsher suspension if you actually were playing. But Calvin Ridley wasn't playing either.
So, yeah. And it was $1,500.
So ridiculous. Just don't bet on games, people. Just don't bet on games. If you play for the NFL, if you don't, go gamble on games. Go have fun.
Yeah.
So some of the news of the week has been C.J. Stroud falling on the draft boards. We got the report from Adam Schefter on NFL Live saying, hey, the Texans might not take a quarterback at number two. Mm-hmm. And then we see more and more coming out. John McClain went on OutKick on Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, said they're really souring on C.J. Stroud. All of these things coming out, and I'm thinking, is this Houston's way of a smokescreen of trying to throw everybody off? What's going on with C.J. Stroud behind the scenes that we don't know about? Mm-hmm. Of course, Brady Quinn came out and said, well, C.J. Stroud kind of ghosted the Manning family when they asked him to come to the Manning Passing Academy.
Nah.
And I'm thinking, seriously, you pass up on a really good quarterback because he didn't respond to a text? It's nothing really made sense to me. Until this Bob McGinn article came out on GoLongTD.com. Now, Bob McGinn is incredibly plugged into the league. He's been covering the Green Bay Packers for the longest time. If there's any Green Bay Packers news or tea, Bob McGinn knows it. So he's very, very plugged in within the NFL, especially the Green Bay Packers. But he's been covering the NFL for years and years and years. And he breaks down why exactly Bryce Young has an advantage over some of the rest of these quarterbacks. And it's the S2 cognition test. Now, it's not the same as the Wonderlic in the way that the test is administered, but it's basically like the modern version of the Wonderlic in the sense that it's trying to evaluate these players and their intelligence, the way that they kind of work off the field. Because you can do your due diligence and watch the tape and watch their workouts, but you don't really know what kind of person they are until you get them into meetings, until you get them into interviews, and also now with these tests. Because with the stakes that are so incredibly high for these GMs and coaches, they need to be 110% sure. So the S2 cognition test has now been a way for them to test four different categories: visual learning, instinctive learning, impulse control, and improvisation. Something that they've been tested a lot of quarterbacks in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, these tests are done for a reason. I get it. And this test has the NFL has been using, or it has been in existence not that long. And the NFL just really started using it right not long ago.
About 7 years ago, I think, according to the article. And this is a company, by the way, based in Nashville.
Yeah, based here in Nashville. So, you know, it's just a – I think it's just another tool, you know, it's not, it's never the end all be all, but it gives you another tool to kind of evaluate these individuals. I mean, it seems like it's only geared more toward the quarterbacks than anybody else. And I understand it. I get it. But here's like the funny part that I don't understand about all of this. Like, and please, y'all help me understand this, because I believe myself to be sort of a logical thinker. I try to, you know, I look at things and assess it and try to, you know, see what's really going on. I don't get it right all the time, but that's how I try to approach things. Before this S2. I always call it
C2 concussions.
Yes, exactly.
S2.
The S2. Before this came out this year, their scores, wasn't everybody raving about his, like, C.J. Stroud, all of them? Well, let's just say the two, C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. When everybody just raving about them and look at what they did on the field, they're just like, look at these two quarterbacks. And, they, you know, Richardson as well and Levis to a point. Mm-hmm. But it was like, man, look at what they've done in their body of work in college. Look at them each and every day on Saturdays and how they're performing, how they're elevating their team. And we're gloating and loving, and this is going to be the guy. This is the friend. And then a damn test come out, and all of a sudden you just completely change the way you think about this person. That's the part I don't get. Like, if this is what you saw in an individual for the last 2 or 3 years, and each year they've gotten better, the coaches are raving about him, the offensive coordinators are raving about him, smart kid, good kid, mm-hmm. he's a hard worker, yada yada yada, why does it only take a millisecond for everybody, not everybody, for most people to sort of turn their backs and now deem this guy not draftable in the first round? That's the part I don't get. Help me understand that, because
this is just
before that.
It's not draftable in the first round.
There's a guy that's quoted. Exactly. There's some offensive, you know, AFC scouts and GMs that are saying, like, this guy may not be the guy. But you were raving. A lot of these were raving over this guy. No more than what, a month ago? Two months ago?
It again illustrates the inexact science of evaluating players. But this is fascinating to me, the S2. Mm-hmm. So, again, I think a lot of people probably are hearing this for the first time and have no idea what this means. Like, what is the S2? I don't even really fully understand it. I've never mm-hmm. taken the S2, but mm-hmm. it's basically, how is your brain wired? Mm-hmm. That's really what the test is. We think of a test as, okay, here's the math section, here's the mm-hmm. English section, here's the science section. It's really not
standardized thing when we think of tests.
Yeah. It's really just, let's see how this guy's brain is wired, and does that transfer to people that have been successful at that position? Mm-hmm. Because we know that that's always the thing we talk about. Forget about the test. It's, hey, okay, here's what he's done in college. He had a lot of time to throw. The windows are a little bigger. You know, he's got good personnel around him, all these other things. And you're trying to figure out, when things are sped up, players are faster, mm-hmm. they're bigger, they're stronger, can his skills translate? That's what every scout is trying to find out. Mm-hmm. And so this S2 has really, according to the article, and I read about S2 a few years ago. I had no idea they were doing this for football. Mm-hmm. It was really a baseball thing.
Vanderbilt baseball uses it,
yes,
I believe.
Yes, absolutely. They were one of the first to get in there.
LSU football has been using it for a couple of years as well.
Yes, uh-huh. And so it's kind of growing in its reputation. And I don't think it's designed to just say, okay, Caroline, you got a 60 on the S2, so that's it. It's over. Like, I think it's just to learn more about yourself and figure out, okay, here's what you scored. What do we do about that? I think mm-hmm. that's kind of what it's designed to do. But as an evaluation tool, you know, what they have said is, with each passing year, more and more teams are saying, wow, look at the results mm-hmm. of this S2 and look who's done well. And there is a correlation there. And what it says is, it doesn't, if you do really well, it doesn't mean you're automatically going to play well in the NFL.
But if you do bad, you're going
to
play bad.
If you've done poorly, they have yet to see somebody who has gone into the league and excelled at quarterback. So that is the red flag.
They haven't given us okay.
But they haven't been doing this for very long. But I know. It's not like they have 40 years of data
but,
on
but
this.
But here's the caveat to all of that that they're not telling us. See, they can take this and sort of gear it the way they want to gear it toward or to get the results they want to get. Not necessarily from a guy taking a test. That's not what I'm talking about, because the results are going to come from the guy really taking the test seriously. Some guys kind of go in there and just, you know, whatever. And it is the way it is. But give me, you've taken all these tests, and then you say, well, it gives us a better understanding of guys that does, not necessarily guys that does, that do well, but the guys that don't do well typically don't work out. I need for them to show me who those guys were, because if those guys were, you know, guys that didn't perform well in college, like wasn't considered high draft picks, then you take the test and you don't do well on a test, but you get in the NFL and you don't do well in the NFL. Well, it had nothing to do with the test. It had everything to do with your ability to play the game. That's what they're not telling us. That's why I like to think things out. Like, you can't just give this to me and say, well, the guys that don't do well, they typically don't work in the NFL. Well, I want to see that guy that didn't do well. What did he do in college? If he wasn't a good player, if he was an okay player in college, I don't expect him to be a great player in the NFL. I just don't. The NFL, the professional league has told us that. Now, we do have some exceptions, but for the most part, if you're excelling in college, you're going to excel more times than not in the professional ranks based upon, you know, team and whatnot. But you can't tell me that a guy that is in college, quarterback that's in college, that is playing for, let's just say LSU, and no knock on LSU, I'm just saying LSU, that's because okay. of you, or Vanderbilt, yeah, okay. you know, either or Michigan State, either one of our colleges. If the quarterback there is just an average to below average quarterback, but he's playing because they have nothing behind him, and then he takes the test and do bad. Exactly. And he takes it and do bad. Well, that wasn't because of the test. It was because that guy wasn't good.
He was a good player.
So you gotta give me other things than just saying, again, they could be right. I don't know.
Okay.
But you gotta give me other examples.
Here's another one for the example.
Uh-huh.
Who had the highest S2 score last year among the rookies? Quarterbacks.
Brock Purdy.
Yes.
But Brock Purdy was a good quarterback in college. He yep. had the tools in college.
But there were, I would assume that there were 31 draft teams who passed up on him six times.
You're right. He had the we see this in the league a lot, whether you become Mr. Irrelevant, a free agent, or you're drafted. I was drafted in the fourth round. Mm-hmm. There were teams over and over and over that passed on
right,
me.
Right, there's the story every year.
Exactly, but it doesn't mean I couldn't play. It was just how they evaluated me based upon my numbers in college. It wasn't that I wasn't a good player. I showed that I can play at a high level in college.
Yeah.
But here's the quote that I'm going to give that you're thinking of.
Uh-huh.
There's an executive in here. And I don't think all of these executives are going to look at this the same way, but there is one executive in this article. The benchmark is 80. Stroud was 18. It's incredibly terrible. He's going to be off some teams' boards. He will not be picked by those teams. So are the Texans one of those teams? That's the question, right? C.J. Stroud's going to get picked high,
mm-hmm.
right? He's going to go in the first round. But it's just how much weight do you give this?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're picking that high and there's that much riding on that pick, that's where I think you start having, ooh, maybe mm-hmm. we shouldn't pick this guy.
Well, let's get into that coming up next. How much weight do you give this? Because, D-Mace, you make a very fair point. If there's a guy who was able to carve up Georgia's defense like C.J. Stroud did in the college football playoff, why is a test all of a sudden going to turn you away? There's a lot more insight in this article from Bob McGinn, so we'll dive right back into it coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts on this as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
And then there's some other stuff about interviews. And maybe, you know, for example, the Manning Passing Academy, I'd been told that, you know, he committed to it the night before, just kind of ghosted him, didn't show up. That's football royalty. And when you do that, that's going to kind of set off some alarms from people of like, hey, man, That's not how you conduct yourself, especially around the Manning family or just in general if you're going to be a franchise quarterback. So
that was Brady Quinn trying to come up with some reason to rationalize why C.J. Stroud could potentially be falling on some draft boards. But we got a little bit of clarity into what could possibly be the reason for the Texans souring on C.J. Stroud, for the Vegas odds to be plummeting on C.J. Stroud to be a top two overall pick. And this was the S2 cognition test scores. Now, breaking down the quarterbacks and their scores that they got so far this year, Bryce Young had the highest C2 score with a 98%. Jake Haner, is that Nevada? Is that where he came from?
Fresno State, I think.
Fresno State, yeah. Thank you. 96%. Will Levis, 93%. Anthony Richardson, 79%. Hendon Hooker, 46%. And C.J. Stroud, 18%.
Where was Cole McDonald? Do we know?
Cole McDonald had a farm.
Old McDonald.
I would be intrigued.
Where is Cole these days?
Cole McDonald had a farm.
Is he at his farm?
I would be intrigued to see like a Peyton Manning and then like a total bust of a pick, like a Jamarcus Russell to take it and see how we could kind of base that off of it. But just to put all of that into context, several GMs, executives around the league said, I mean, that is just flat out horrible. That is a massive red flag for C.J. Stroud. And one executive said, the S2 people will say, hey, guys, that graded high on this test don't always play well. Like a Jake Haner from Fresno State isn't all of a sudden going to go from a third round kind of projected guy to a first round guy just because of the S2 cognition test. Mm-hmm. However, we've never had somebody grade low and play well. And I think that is the chunk that a lot of GMs are looking at if they take this test seriously. They're looking at it and saying, well, hey, I mean, yes, if you are graded high, your S2 cognition test being high will help you out. But if we grade you high and you had the lowest score of this entire quarterback class by a massive margin, then that's a big red flag. And this could rationalize why C.J. Stroud is kind of tanking in the rankings. Because Bryce Young, we all know, he's a good player.
Yeah.
And his S2 cognition test kind of backs that up.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, because I don't think, and we were discussing this off air, I don't think it's necessarily the test score alone or the test score individually. Because I want to believe, like all of these young men, I want to believe that if you sit down and you take it seriously, you're not going to get a damn 18. That's like taking the SAT. You get X amount of points just for writing your name, don't you? I mean, the SAT. You get a certain amount of points for just writing your name, don't you?
Yeah, you think so.
So if you get low, it's like, damn, did you even write your name right? What you do? What's going on here? Did you take it seriously?
Do you know your name?
Exactly. So when I look at this, I think it's not necessarily, I don't think it's necessarily the score, but it goes along to what Brady Quinn said, which I don't agree. Like, damn that damn royalty stuff. And the kings and queens, we done with that stuff. We ain't no royalties. And I love y'all. Know how much I love Peyton Manning, but man, we ain't,
who doesn't?
Exactly. We ain't dying. They ain't my royalty. No, but I think that sort of leads into, you know, him taking things serious. Did you take the test seriously? I'm not necessarily worried about the actual score. If your agent presented it to you like, hey, listen, you need to go in here and take this test because these GMs and these owners, this is the one test now they're starting to take a little bit seriously. If you went in there and just kind of blew it off, even if your agent didn't say anything to you, but you know you're picked to be, you know, many are saying you're number one and number two pick, and you always want to put your best foot forward. And if you still went in there as a player, and was like, I'm not going to worry. It was sort of like half-assed. It was like, I ain't worried about that. Then that's where
Even though people are saying, look, there's money on the line here. People are putting
your reputation on the line.
So
here,
I could see owners thinking that or GMs thinking that. Like, how serious is he about certain things? Not only did he sort of, which I don't know if it's true or not, but, speculations are he sort of blew the Mannings off. Okay, but then to go along with this as well, that kind of sends red flags. Like, I wonder, like you said, Willie, if he took the test again, what would the actual score be?
That would be interesting, is what if you took the test again? Because, you know, the way I'm reading about this test, it's not necessarily one that you study for.
Exactly.
You know, it's just find out how your brain is wired. Are you cut out to be an NFL quarterback with the way your brain functions? Because that's the thing we talk about every Monday after an NFL study. What did that guy look at? How did he not see that guy? How come he didn't read the coverage? You know, we're all that guy. But this is a test that helps you figure out what a guy sees, right? And how a guy reacts when things are moving fast, when he's getting a lot thrown at him. That's what this test is about. So that's what I would love to know more of is, can you study for this test? Can you work on, if you get an 18 or you get a 40, Hendon Hooker apparently is in the 40s or somewhere.
46, yeah.
Could you improve on these things? How easy is it to improve on these things? The data that they're saying in this article is there hasn't been a guy yet. Of course, they haven't had this test very long. Mm-hmm. But there hasn't been a guy yet that has scored poorly and then played well at quarterback in the NFL.
And they have a lot of quarterbacks that have scored very well that have turned out to be elite quarterbacks. Joe Burrow got a 97, 98 on the test. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, they have all scored very well. So it's not a perfect projection of who is going to be an elite quarterback. But if you feel good about a guy and his score can back it up to match, then you can feel even better about him. And we've got a bunch of texts in the text line, and I just want to remind everybody that this is not a test that tests your intelligence.
Exactly.
This is not a test that asks you certain questions with right or wrong answers. Mm-hmm. This is directly from the article. It's a 30 to 45 minute exercise, which I feel like that's what we should really call it.
It's not
a test, it's an exercise.
Yeah.
It's conducted on what the Athletic's Matt Burrows in February described as a specially designed gaming laptop and response pad that can record reactions in 2 milliseconds. Mm-hmm. It measures how players process and make split-second decisions. Anticipating, reading, reacting, and adapting to the game are all measurable skills. Again, visual learning, instinctive learning, impulse control, and improvisation are all 4 of the categories that it looks at. So to me, this doesn't sound like anything that you can prepare for. It's just inherently who you are.
But it also, I do think there would have to be a difference. If you come in, Derek, and you're like, I am locked in. I know this is important. Yeah. I'm going to be focused. And I come and say, what is this S2 thing?
Exactly.
Who cares? I can throw a football, man. Mm-hmm. I don't care about this S2, and I just do whatever. I'd have to think there's going to be a difference in how well we score based on what our potential is. Even if even if they tell you, don't study for this. There's nothing you can study. But if you think it's important and I don't, that's probably going to make a difference.
It's sort of like how I'm sort of viewing it now. And I could be completely wrong on this, but it's sort of like the concussion test at the beginning of the year, where you really can't study for it.
It just is.
They give it to you, and it's just it. And some guys either you're taking it seriously when you go in there, or you're not. But that would be sort of a red flag for me in regards to C.J. Stroud or any other quarterback that walks in there and doesn't think this is important. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. It's like, dude, you need to put your best foot forward in this regards, because I was always told this is an audition for a once-in-a-lifetime job. So take it, everything that you do in the next 3 months, who you surround yourself up with, how you're working out, what you're putting on social media, all this other stuff. We didn't have social media when I was coming out, but it was explaining to me, like, this is the most important interview you're going to have, you know, at this point. So if you want to play in the NFL or NBA or whatnot, MLB, you need NHL, you need to take this seriously. And it would be a red flag to me if you didn't go in there and take it seriously. There's already these stereotypes. Call it like it is. Call it what it is. It's not true, but there's already these stereotypes out there. Why do you then want to go into it? You're not going to walk into a Fortune 500 company and not be prepared. Like, you're going to go in there like, I want that six-figure job.
My job.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I want it. I'm going to be prepared. Even if you're graduating from the greatest schools, Boston University, and you're the top of, you see, I said Boston University, and you're at the top of, and you're at the top of your game, you're not going to say, oh, everybody want me, so I'm not going to really. No, you're going to go in there buttoned up, ready to go, professional, and put your best foot forward. This is what may call. This is what is causing a red flag with me with CJ Stroud. Like, and you best bring foot
up,
forward.
You bring up a very fair point because it's similar to what one scout said in this article about what was one of his number one concerns with CJ Stroud that was confirmed by this test. And we'll get into that coming up next. And of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. And don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 1025 and 1063 The Game. You can join me and D-Mace and Uncle Chris Anders, Crazy Chris, on location as we broadcast live for day two of the draft on April 28th. We will be out at the Inglewood Wingstop located at 3300 Gallatin Pike, where flavor gets its wings. First 100 people to stop by during the draft will receive a coupon for 5 free boneless wings for their next visit. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game in the Game Nashville app. Ask D-Mace in 1 hour. Get those questions in for D-Mace. Good calls, texts, we'll take them all. The best question for D-Mace will win a nice little prize, which we will reveal at 12:30 when we begin Ask D-Mace. But D-Mace, you brought up a very fair point about this test, is maybe C.J. Stroud does have all of these things. Maybe he could have scored with the Will Levis's and the Bryce Young's each that were in the 90% category. But maybe he showed up and he just didn't really care about it. And that's a problem as well.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Even if you look at it and you're like, hey, like, what more am I supposed to prove? I've gone through meetings. I've gone through interviews. I've done all the preparation. I was one of the top quarterbacks in college football this past year. I have nothing else to prove to you. And there's probably an agent or a, you know, whoever is advising him saying, hey, general manager, take this really seriously. Mm-hmm. I know you might not really want to take this test, but just go into it with your best foot forward and just show them who you are and what you can do. But if you went into it thinking, I really don't care about this, then that is another problem. And there was a scout who basically said that was always my concern with C.J. Stroud. His personality is calm and mellow and laid back, and that's the way that he plays. You look at how Bryce Young plays, how C.J. Stroud plays. I don't see how anyone can look at those two play football, and you'd want C.J. Stroud over Bryce Young. Bryce's mind is so quick, and he processes fast, whereas Stroud, everything is much, much more programmed. That's never really something that I took away from when watching those two. And I think we look at Bryce Young or Joe Burrow or Jalen Hurts, and we look at them as being so calm, cool, and collected, but maybe in a way where they're so dialed in, and they don't get rattled by anything. Whereas C.J. Stroud, he's calm, cool, and collected, maybe in a negative way. Like, he's so laid back that he doesn't have that same edge. And that's, I have no idea. That's just the evaluation based off of this, by this scout who said this, the S2 cognition test kind of validated what he thought about C.J. Stroud, that it's not as laser-sharp focus. It's more of a laid-back approach.
Yeah, I mean, again, I go back to, okay, let's just put the test aside. If you never saw the test in your life or you never knew what those scores are, because, you know, there should be a, I don't know, maybe they can do it, can't do it or not. But when Wonderlic came out, for a long time, we didn't know the scores. And then all of a sudden, we start knowing the scores. And then all of a sudden, we start thinking differently about players, you know, and how to approach it. But in this situation, again, the article could be right. I'm not saying it's not. Don't you want your – I've always said that Bryce Young was the top quarterback in this class.
I love Bryce Young.
Everything that I see about him or have seen about him in games – I don't need to know what he runs, what he does in his pro day. Just turn on that tape. He played in the best conference, so many say. He played in the best conference in college football. Not the Big Ten, but the SEC. Big Ten guy. And he excelled. He carried his team when his team didn't have the talent that we are accustomed to seeing from Alabama at the skill position. And he carried them to the season that they had. That's all I needed to see. The guy's a gamer. Oh. I thought he was always the best quarterback in his class.
He's special.
Yeah. But I'm not going to then, you know, but I thought C.J. Stroud was good too. But C.J. Stroud is a different quarterback than Bryce Young. C.J. Stroud seems to be, it's sort of like, it's so calm and cool. It seems like the game slows to a point where you think he's having a hard time processing. when actually he's not having a hard time processing, probably. It's just that he sees the game a lot different than what a Bryce Young sees it. Bryce Young is probably more energetic and everything is boom, 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 boom. Some people love that. But then some people could look at that and say he got happy feet. You get in the NFL, you get happy feet. Them people start coming at you. And you know, your head's everywhere.
You start seeing ghosts.
Speed up, yeah. Where C.J. Stroud, just like Joe Burrow, we say Joe Burrow's calm and cool. And when he scans the field, it never seems as if he's off his square. He's always just like, you know, Patrick Mahomes the same way. Maybe that's C.J. Stroud. Because before this test, people were saying, some people said he was the best quarterback in this quarterback class. Some people said he was behind Bryce Young, but there were always 1-2. But now that the test has come out, now it's, man, I don't know if he's a top five pick. And if C.J. Stroud went into that test not taking it seriously, then it's his fault that they're thinking this way.
It's interesting because there are probably going to be a lot of people who read this. Now, I'm curious, too. The coverage of this from ESPN, NFL Network, so far, this hasn't just grabbed, you know, a bunch of momentum and had everybody saying, whoa, hold everything. Take a look at this test score. We got to redo our mock drafts. You know, I don't see that happening right now. But it's a compelling story that isn't just about the S2. Like, it still says that C.J. Stroud is going to be ranked among all these scouts that they talked about, executives. He's going to be in the top three quarterbacks. He's going to be picked high. But it's kind of a what if. Like, if this continues to trend this way, like if Purdy comes back and establishes himself as a starter in the league, if Bryce Young goes in there and does really, really well and Stroud doesn't, then you think scouts are going to be, I mean, they're going to look at that S2 and say, wait a minute, we need to look more into this. You know, we got to take this further. And also, everybody that's preparing prospects is going to say, we need to talk to S2. You know, we need to figure out how to do well on this test. We need to see where the weaknesses and strengths are, which is what this is designed to do. Like, this is a website. It's designed to help athletes. It's not designed to, like, weed out who's good and who's not good, right? It's designed to say, okay, where are your strengths? Where are your weaknesses as an athlete? And how do we try to get you better? That's really what the company is designed to do.
And it's interesting that they evaluate the things that you just can't always tell on tape or on film. You can see a guy's arm strength. You know, you can see a guy's escapability and mobility. You can't see the things that S2 is measuring.
Right.
But and if we're going to talk about C.J. Stroud, we're going to talk about the rest of the quarterbacks as well, because there is some pretty juicy stuff in here about some evaluators, some scouts, some general managers, and their impression of this quarterback class as a whole. And it is fascinating. And, of course, we'll get into your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, and, hey, be caller 3 right now to win a pair of tickets to see Steve Miller Band at First Bank Amphitheater on April 30th. This is brought to you by Green Trees, a family-owned CBD and cannabis company in Hendersonville, and online at greentrees.com. TREEZ company.com. Caller 3 now. Good luck with that. 1025, 1063, the game.
We know the number one's going to go quarterback. Two, let's just say for this example, the Texans go defense. Arizona trades out. A team could possibly get the second best quarterback in the draft if they're able to move up to that spot.
Into three.
Mm-hmm. Right? And the reason why I think this is so interesting, because there are teams right now trying to get that information, because this is going to determine what position they take. So there are some teams, like the Raiders, for example, right? Everything's on the table for them. They got quarterback, offensive line, defense as well. They could make a decision, change it on draft night.
There you go. That was Diana Russini on Get Up yesterday, kind of on the tendencies of what she's looking at some of the teams around the league wanting to do, potentially trade up for a quarterback, potentially not. But if I'm taking anything away from Bob McGinn's reporting, it's that this is not the year
to trade up
for a quarterback.
That's the first thing I thought of when I read this article. It's like, man, anybody who wants to trade up, I mean, they're blowing off all of these guys. or girls, whoever's evaluating these people, these unnamed executives, the theme of this article really is not about the S2 as much as the overall crop. There's going to be probably five guys picked in the first round. It happens all the time. But they say it's really an overrated group, for lack of a better term. That's the theme of the article. True?
True. And they kind of they ranked this panel ranked the quarterbacks in this draft, and its S2 score combined with on the field play combined with everything that they've seen from them, and they really rank them probably how you would expect. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson, Hendon Hooker are the top five. You could probably dispute Levis over Richardson or Richardson over Levis, but really for the most part, that's kind of what we've already known. Mm-hmm. But it's what the evaluators and the scouts have said about this class that was very eye-opening to me. One AFC evaluator, I would say this quarterback group is a bit above average. There's not a bona fide guy. There's no Andrew Luck. Comparing it to Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, that class was way better coming out. You can poke holes in all of these guys. Another AFC evaluator, it's the most overhyped and understandably so, group that I can recall. Every one of them is flawed, and some with major flaws. So I think they all get overdrafted, and unfortunately, they all underperform. Even if they become starters, they're bottom half of the league starters. Whoa now!
Yeah. And I, again, this is just people's opinions. It doesn't mean that they're right, but it does have you pause. The other thing that this article... You guys know me. Like, I see somebody's mock draft here or there. I'm like, okay, whatever. I mean, sure, tell me really. Give me some nuggets. Give me some real insight. That's what gets my attention. This got my attention because of the S2 and some of the things these guys were saying. The other thing that didn't come out at all that I keep asking myself, why does nobody ever bring up the age of the quarterbacks? Like, Anthony Richardson did really well on this test in the S2. So what would he do if he, you know, what will he do when he's 25? You know what I mean? Like, some of these guys are taking this test 3 years older. Does your brain remain the same? Will it always be the same with these cognitive skills, how your brain is wired stuff? As you said, Caroline, it's really not something you prepare for. But I do wonder if it's something you work on. But I do think that the age of the quarterback should be relevant. But it doesn't seem to be to any of these evaluators.
No, it seems like they're not. That's not at the forefront of their evaluation when they're looking at these quarterbacks, because I think they're taking into account the whole COVID year and everything else. So they're and this would probably be, I think maybe next year, probably it'll start to phase out and we'll start to get back to guys and girls graduating around 21, 22 years old, somewhere around there. But because of COVID, we do have guys and girls staying in college a little bit longer. And then when they come out, they're, you know, just turned 24 or going to be 25 in another, you know, in the next following year. But, you know, when I look at these quarterbacks, are they – When they're saying this group of quarterbacks or this crop of quarterbacks, they're not the Andrew Luck or the Trevor Lawrence or the Joe Burrow. Are they talking all the quarterbacks, like your top 10 quarterbacks, your top 20 quarterbacks, your top five? What are you talking? You know, because if you're talking, I sound like Martin on one of those movies when he dressed up as the mama. Big Mama. So it's like, what
Big
you talking?
Mama says?
Yeah. What you talking? But no, if you're just talking about the top, let's say, three quarterbacks or four, because, you know, they interchange, I think, the last two guys. If you're just talking about C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Will Levis, and Anthony Richardson, okay, maybe, but who came out with Joe Burrow other than Joe Burrow? It was Joe Burrow. The kid in with the Chargers.
Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, apologies for some technical difficulties. Appreciate you for sticking with us. We're breaking down Bob McGinn's recent article, kind of describing the S2 cognition test and what that means for NFL talent evaluators, GM, scouts, so on and so forth. And there are several damning reports from executives and evaluators across the league, basically saying that he thinks that these evaluators, he, she, whoever it might be, that they're going to be bottom half of the league starters, that more than likely, more than half of these quarterbacks in this year's draft are going to be busts. Now, that's also taking all of this with a grain of salt, that this could be evaluators coming out and saying bad things about this quarterback class just to throw everybody off, just to make everyone think things that they maybe not have thought before, just to throw weird things and weird wrenches into the narrative around draft time. We know that that happens.
Yes, and that again brings up the question, just like some of these other things that he blew off the Manning camp and all this, why does this come out now? When did he take this test? Did he just take the test?
Exactly.
Like, I don't think so. I think they probably have had this data for a while, but how is this now seeping out? This is great reporting, by the way, to come up with all these things. And he's got a pretty good history of, and it makes you wonder, well, what about all the other quarterbacks who came in the last 5-6 years since this thing started to take off?
How did they rank?
How did they go? You know, like, now I want to know everybody's score just to see, you know, how much this is truthful. Some of these unnamed sources that are saying we've never had a guy score low that has really played well. There's been plenty of guys who scored well and then didn't play well. But so far, we haven't. Now, this is, again, this doesn't go back to 1990. This goes just back 5, 6, 7 years when it has really started to take off. But more and more teams seem to be putting more value in this.
But again, you have to give me the context.
Yes.
Give me the context.
We don't have any.
Don't say, this is what this is, this is what that is. Because again, if I want you to believe something, I would skew it to a way that is more beneficial to my argument rather than giving you the whole picture. We see it every day in life. You know, if I want you to be on my side, then I'm going to tell you the story, you know, so you will believe me or so you will side with me rather than seeing a whole, you know, everything that's going on. And I just wonder, give me context with these quarterbacks. If you've tested, you know, 50 quarterbacks, then give me all 50. Give me all 50 scores. And then I will be better. I would be better able to determine whether what you're saying is accurate or not. I'm not trying to say it's not, but you can't just throw that at me and say, this is gospel, this is what it is. No, give me all, give me everything, and let me make the determination based on it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your thoughts on this. But as we talk about some of what these evaluators are saying about the quarterback class, of course, we have to take everything with a giant grain of salt. But it's not just what they're saying about the quarterback class. But they're also saying about another position of need for the Titans. And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, hey, join 1025 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have a bunch of fun doing it. Plus, you will have the chance to win awesome prizes, so sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. Ask D-Mace in 30 minutes. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.